Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, don't forget, Cube 57 is the home of the Houston Dynamo. Join Eddie Robinson, Cindy Bourbano, and myself. We are proud to be bringing you the Houston Dynamo in Cube 57. Also, big word down at Advantage BMW. We got some. We're going to have a live show down there. We can't announce it yet, but we're going to have some really cool things around the Bayern Munich Real Madrid game. I love the drive of a BMW. The thing I like about Advantage BMW Midtown is also the customer service. It's second to none. Advantage BMW Midtown has you covered with sales, service, and finance. It can be done so easy. Get the hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown. Advantage BMW Houston. com. Get down there, say hello to Philip, say hello to my buddy Justin. These guys love soccer down there, and we want to support the businesses, the companies that are putting money behind your sport and getting soccer on the radio, quite frankly. The other thing is Real Madrid, Bayern Munich. That's July 20th at Energy. You get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com. All right, MVP, all-star team in here. Eddie Robinson, analyst on theCUBE, assistant coach for the Houston Dash, former Houston Dynamo defender, MLS all-star in the house. Eddie, how are you?
Fantastic.
You're lying. You're lying because you came in and told me you felt lousy.
I feel good.
But you're fighting through it.
Always puts a smile on my face.
You always fought through it as a player, and I know you will tonight. And we're going to have a good time. We've got Super Eagle Sam from Afro Vibes. By the way, Sam is prepping to go to the African Nations Cup, just a little trip over to Africa for the African Nations Cup. How are you, Sam?
I'm all right. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to have you guys in here. By the way, phone lines are open, 713-780-3776, so join the discussion, 713-780-3776. A lot of tickets going to be dropped this hour, so I would be ready with that number, 713-780-3776. All right, starting with you, Eddie. Champions League final, Liverpool, Spurs, just some opening thoughts.
Golly, how Spurs was able to overcome the deficit just to be here for me is it almost feels like destiny for them and Jurgen Klopp for as well as they played in the league. And it just wasn't quite good enough. But then Harry Kane's announced himself fit. So when he's on the field, you can't take anything for granted. I think it's going to be a tremendous game and I can't wait to watch it.
Think he's going to start?
If he's fit, absolutely. How could you not? I mean, this is the biggest game, I think, that Pochettino's managed in his time at Tottenham. And if he does have aspirations to go, I mean, you ride your horses, don't you?
By the way, Spurs have never won the Champions League / European Cup. Sam, how about you? Sam Mbonu of Afro Vibes Radio, a super good man and a super knowledgeable football guy.
He's a little bit biased, I believe.
Yeah, he is a Liverpool fan. And by the way, if you're watching this on Facebook, you see Eddie here and you see Sam and myself. Sam has decided to decorate this studio.
Yeah, Liverpool takeover and Nigeria flying with takeover.
Sam, did you clear that with the staff of Soccer Matters or did you just come in here and decorate this place? Either way, it's okay.
All right, the Champions League finals, this is the second time Liverpool going back, back to back. Last year they were there, and they're coming back again. And Klopp, in his press conference, said the defeat, against Madrid, spoiled them on to be here in the finals. And if you look at Liverpool record against an English opposition in Europe, when they meet for the first time, they've not lost. In the recent ones I can recall, against Chelsea 2005, you saw what happened. Against Chelsea again 2007, you saw what happened against Arsenal Ryan Babel finished them off at dying minute.
Ryan Babel, that's one out of the archives.
Against Manchester United in Europa League, you know, Philip Coutinho finished them off at Old Trafford. Against Manchester City, it was a, you know, a victory home and away. So Spurs may be overwhelmed, you know, because of the occasion. They've not been there before, even though Klopp hasn't won the European title. Pochettino is yet to win his own too. But Liverpool, having been there, not once, but up to 14 times, they will, you know, they are poised to carry there.
So you're saying they've got more experience than Spurs?
Yeah, they do.
In the present time?
In the present time.
Not reaching back to Ryan Babel, not reaching back to the miracle in Istanbul. Right now, they have more experience. I think that's a fair statement.
If you look at the points difference between the two clubs in the domestic league, the gulf is so wide.
Liverpool won both of the meetings during the regular season in the Premier League.
Yes, they did.
So, yeah. Eddie, do you agree with that? Do you think the experience factor in this case is as big a deal as Sam is making it?
It is. And I think for me, it's from the standpoint of being able to control your emotions and the adrenaline at the beginning of the game, because it's very easy to get caught up in the enormity of the moment and make a silly mistake. And I think that the team that wins is probably going to be the team that is able to control that first 20 minutes.
First 20 minutes is key. Who wins and why, Sam?
Not because I'm a Liverpool fan, but because the quality that Liverpool brings to European matches is so intense that Spurs may find difficult to contain. You know, I was going through Liverpool Spurs meeting in the Premier League, and I look at the formation that Pochettino played, you know, in their reverse fixture at Anfield. Mm-hmm. You know, he opted for a 4-2-3-1 against Ajax. It worked for them. But against Liverpool that press so high, 4-3-3 that Jurgen Klopp is familiar with, you know, how are you going to stop the speed of Sadio Mane? How can you, you know, curtail the nimble feet of Salah? Even though Firmino hasn't played in more than three games because of injury, but he is in contention to start the game. Even though Origi got two goals against Barca, if Firmino is fit, Origi will start from the bench. So these three front players, how can you, you know, contend them? 22 goals
well,
apiece
let's,
for Mane and Salah.
Let's dissect that. So how would you defend a front three like that? I'll propose one theory, which I'm not sure is in the mindset of Spurs, and that is you can not concede a lot of room behind you, and you can sit deeper, and you can try to keep these three mobile guys in front of you and tell them, you got to break us down and you got to play through us. So that's one theory. What other theories do you guys have?
For me, you got to take away the width. I mean, it's Dynamo fans, I think, are very familiar with this, and when you get your wingers one-on-one against defenders, it's a nightmare, and chances are going to come. Fast and hard. If you can force Liverpool to play through the midfield, to play through the middle, I think it will be a little bit more difficult. But at the end of the day, when you've got players of this quality, you're not going to stop them. Mm-hmm. The only thing that you can do is try to make the chances that they get as difficult as possible.
Yeah. I mean, how many times have we seen unbelievable combination play in small areas from Salah, Firmino, Sadio Mane? I mean, come on.
Even the fullbacks.
They got a plan B. They got a plan B. The two fullbacks have been unbelievable. Trent Alexander and Robertson have been remarkable. I mean, these guys have like 26-plus assists amongst them. I mean, it's the two best outside backs in the Premier League as a pair.
It'll be fun. You know, Kyle Walker and Danny Rose for Spurs. I mean, there's just as much pace and power.
They have work to do.
If you had to pick two to defend the wide play of Liverpool, it'd have to be those two just because pace alone. Just trying to keep up.
So let's go a little position by position. So let's go goalkeeper first, starting with you, Eddie. Alisson versus Hugo Lloris.
Man, and see, so I'm going to go back real quick. Somebody asked me what my thoughts were after the first leg of Ajax and Tottenham. And I said, my head tells me Ajax, my brain, but my gut is just something. Course. After that, Liverpool, the second leg of Liverpool. Said my gut's telling me something here, so I want to say Alisson, but again, it's the difference in the quality of these world class players is marginal, is so marginal, and it literally will probably take a mistake from one of them. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I think they're both going to be outstanding. I I'm sorry. I like to pick and I like to be decisive, but I can't here.
Yeah, no, it's pretty difficult. Sam, what do you think?
Yeah, I think when you pitch the two goalkeepers, Allison and Hugo Lloris. Hugo Lloris, yeah, he's a great goalkeeper, fantastic goalkeeper, no doubt about that. A lot of experience, you know. But if you look at some high-profile mistakes he has made in recent past, that will kind of jolt you a little bit. Allison made such a mistake in the EPL, but club dressed him down. And since then, I think he has cut out such, you know, risky moves that he normally make. But looking at a goalkeeper in his debut season, he won the Golden Glove in the Barclays Premier League. Liverpool losing only once in that campaign is impressive. And I think man for man, Allison is a better goalkeeper at the moment than Hugo Lloris.
How different is he from Lloris? Is he better with his feet?
In terms of starting the play from, you know, the back with his feet, you know, one-on-one occasion with a, you know, an oncoming striker, he has made several saves.
You know, I think that when you have such a good group in front of you that doesn't give up very much, it's hard to stay focused and switched on mentally for the full 90 minutes. And that again, was something you can say about Allison, that Liverpool didn't give up a lot of crazy opportunities. But when they did, he was there. He was ready. So that focus and that mental side of it, I think, may just separate him a little bit.
By the way, it's not bad when you have Virgil van Dijk in front of you. So let's talk about center back. Virgil van Dijk, obviously, for me, is top central defender in the league. The guy's remarkable in all aspects of the game. I think he's got everything, leadership, composure, you name it, as a center back. So van Dijk and either Matip or Gomez against Vertonghen and Alderweireld.
I think Alderweireld was out for a very long period of time with an injury. And when he came back, he didn't look himself to me. And the pace that this game's going to be played at, he might find himself a step behind, especially that front three of Liverpool. And there's nothing that hasn't been said about Virgil van Dijk that you can say. He's the greatest center back in the world, without question, game in and game out.
Yeah, unbelievable. Sam?
Yeah, for me, Virgil van Dijk, you have said it, you know, he's the best center back at the moment, looking at the way he makes defending look very easy. And also, going forward, he brings that extra man in set pieces. You know, he got in Liverpool some goals, you know, on set pieces. And also, the game between Liverpool and Chelsea, just two touches from Alisson to Van Dijk, Van Dijk to Salah, and boom, the ball was in the net. So when he, you know, see that opening downfield, he's able to read games and, you know, set a player off, you know, towards goal. So Van Dijk, Jan Vertonghen, or Toby, they're not comparable.
All right, when we come back, and we're assuming, are we assuming that Spurs is going to play with a back four?
You have to.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. Unless you play three center backs with two wingers that drop in, so you've got five across.
They've done that. I mean, they've done that.
He did that 3-1-4-2 against Liverpool Anfield, and he backfired.
Okay. Hold that thought. We're going to come back with more. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. Come on. Where are you guys? Liverpool fans, join the conversation. Spurs fans, join the conversation. Chelsea, Arsenal, we want to hear from you. Spurs right now leads in most phone calls tonight. Liverpool in second. Still haven't had anything from Chelsea. So I guess that means you guys don't like Mauricio Sarri. And we haven't had anything from Arsenal, which means you don't think you're going to win tomorrow. So you guys are going to work while others are going to take off. Pair of tickets right now. Houston Dynamo, you can catch them on the Cube. Dynamo Sport in Kansas City, sixth caller right now, 713-780-3776. Sixth caller. Take a break, Daspit Law Firm break.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We roll on here. A quick word here. Tomorrow, great place to watch the Europa League is the King's Court. Get down to 903 Hutchins in Edo. It's right near the stadium. It's where El Batallón hangs out. Tomorrow, you're going to have Chelsea Bayou City Blues fans there. All are welcome. Head down to King's Court. Also, Hugh O'Connor's. There's a couple of sites. I know the one, the Marquee Entertainment Center on I-10. Another great place to watch the Europa League. And then on Saturday, it's the Champions League final between Liverpool. So a couple of things here. The stadium they're playing in holds 67,000 plus. It's the Metropolitano. It's the home of Atletico Madrid in Madrid. Liverpool and Spurs. So we've got four Premier League teams in the two biggest European trophy title hunts going on, the Europa League. So this is the year of the Premier League. So you La Liga fans, sorry. But this is the year of the Premier League, and we welcome you back again. Our presenting sponsor is John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. All right, so we were breaking down the different lines of the team. Let's go to outside backs. Robertson, Alexander-Arnold, Trippier, and Danny Rose. Edge?
Liverpool. I think Trippier... It doesn't have the same quality in crossing the ball when he does get forward, and I think he's going to have to do a lot of defending. So it'll be interesting to see how much he gets forward. I think for me, Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold, not only have they been so good, but they've been so consistent. And when you have that with your back four, we've talked about it with the Dynamo in years past, successful years versus non-successful years, weighed so heavily on the consistency of the back four. Can you start the same ones week in and week out without injuries and suspensions? And that's what Liverpool's been able to do.
Sam?
Yeah, when you try to compare the fullbacks of Liverpool and Spurs, if you look at, you know, their production will tell you that, you know, difference between them is so much, you know.
From an attacking perspective.
The game against FC Barca in our Camp Nou, Liverpool didn't offer much on the attack going from the right because Klopp played Gomez instead of playing Trent. And I think he saw, you know, that lapses and he corrected it in the return leg. So what Trent and Robertson offers you on the right and the left is so immense that it helps the front three, you know, when they set off going and you see Robo on the left and Trent coming on the right, you know you're getting a goal.
Yeah, well, I mean, to have the compliment on both sides, you know, we see at different levels of soccer around the world. Yeah, maybe they one out of two of the outside backs is really good going forward. But when you got two that can go forward like that, and by the way, those guys were, I mean, when it comes to acquisitions, talk about smart moves and talk about not having to put a lot out for those two players. Pretty incredible. I mean, these guys were like bargain bin when it comes to what was invested to get them. And here they are. They're two of the most outstanding outside backs in the Premier League.
It's brave from Jurgen Klopp, largely young and untested,
yeah,
especially at that level. So you got to give some credit to Jurgen Klopp and what he saw in them and knowing that they were capable of reaching this level.
Let's move it on into midfield. Let's start center mid defensively. Fabinho, Milner, Henderson, Sissoko, and Wayama, and maybe Dele Alli as well if it's a five-man mid playing on top of them.
If Wijnaldum's out there, I think that's a huge advantage over Tottenham. Wanyama, though, man, what an athlete, a complete freak of nature, that guy. The amount of ground that he can cover, the pace and the power that he's got. But I think Jorginho Wijnaldum is one of the unsung, the ones that haven't gotten enough credit for what they've brought to this Liverpool team this year.
Remember his two goals off the bench in the second half against Barcelona. Sick. I mean, you got two goals from Wijnaldum and two from Origi. I mean, it's incredible from your bench. Unbelievable. Sam?
That's where depth and squad come into play. You know, after that game against Barcelona, Gino, when I call him Gino the Genie, he said that he was angry when Klopp put him on the bench. That anger was what, you know, made him come on and, you know, saw where the problems were, and he got, you know, Liverpool going forward. So when you look at it, the midfield of Liverpool, Henderson brings in that combativeness and that leadership, you know, in the middle for Liverpool. Then when you bring in Gino also, he'll walk his ass off. You know, I don't know if he has extra plug in him. He can cover much ground and space, and he can track back and get the ball and, you know, get Liverpool going forward. They bring in Fabinho or Milner for his experience, you know, which what
I
Liverpool
think he'll
need.
Replace Milner, right? And Jordan Henderson plays as the third midfielder. Henderson, Wijnaldum, and
maybe Fabinho.
I think that's what Roger from Liverpool supporters group, he was saying he thinks Wijnaldum will get the bid over Milner.
And you never wish for a player to get injured by any means, but the fact that Naby Keita is injured just takes a difficult decision away from Jurgen Klopp. It's something he doesn't have to make, right? He doesn't have to tell someone you're not starting and maybe the biggest game of someone's career.
Keita started the first leg at Barcelona against Barcelona.
And he was injured. Even Ox Chamberlain is in condition to stay. You know, he's back from injury.
Yeah, we forgot all about him.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. Attackers, Salah, Firmino, Mane, against Christian Eriksen, Harry Kane, Lucas Moura, Son. Well, wow, what a group of attackers I just mentioned there.
Christian Eriksen is a very intelligent individual in that he starts wide, but a lot of times he'll drift in and he'll find little gaps between the lines. And he's extremely dangerous shooting from outside of the box. And that's the type of player that I don't think Liverpool necessarily has, although they don't need it. They don't need it. They need cover so that their front three or four can get forward and counterattack almost recklessly and have cover. But that's an area that really true number 10. I don't think Dele Alli's been, over this last season, as outstanding as he was in last year. As well, I think he's fallen off.
Eriksen's kind of been a little bit up and down, right, Sam?
Yeah, Eriksen doesn't have that, you know, consistency, even though he know how to pick those little spaces.
But can make plays. And, he can make, you know, big can plays make play, in a final. He can make those, big plays,
pick
Sam.
Those little spaces and unleash some thunderous shot from his feet. But the fact is that, you know, Liverpool close down space. They don't give you that space for you to play that kind of game. That was why Messi wasn't given space to play his game. You know, so Liverpool knowing what they're going to come up against in Spurs, and they're going to go back and revisit, you know, their recent, you know, games. I think, you know, Klopp won't want, he won't want to break his duck in Europe this time around. And this is the first time he's going to an European finals, and his team are a huge favorite to win it.
I like it, Sam. Break the duck? That's a good saying.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that one in a while. Break the duck. Yeah. Break the duck. I like the Boston Red Sox hat, too. What's up with that?
You know Liverpool connection.
Next time you're going to come in here, oh, the Fenway Sports Group. I got
John
it.
W. Henry.
Since you couldn't wear a Liverpool jersey because you got your Super Eagles jersey on, right?
Yeah, I got my
Super Eagles. We're going to talk a little under 20 Super Eagles.
I know
you're sad about that. So, by the way, that's a great point. Can you imagine? This is an American-owned Liverpool. Fenway Sports Group could win the Champions League.
It's crazy.
And remarkable. Also, another American-owned franchise, Arsenal, can win Europa League. Stan Kroenke.
Yeah.
It took a long time for the real business minds of this country to realize how fruitful.
Oh, I bet Stan will be in a pub tomorrow drinking beers with Arsenal fans and wearing his Arsenal jersey. Or maybe he'll have his Rapids jersey on.
Yeah.
Stan may not know he owns the Colorado Rapids, quite frankly. His portfolio is so big.
No, they're going the right direction. They fired their coach, and now they won two in a row.
Well,
yeah, but you like
but it's a rebuilding year. Don't forget, Eddie. It's a rebuild.
But American businessmen own like 3-4 top clubs in the Premier League. Manchester United, the Glazer family.
Yeah, but look at the difference between the Glazer family and the Fenway Sports Group. The Fenway Sports Group's investing.
They're investing.
It's a little different.
It's different.
I feel like it's different.
But I think Man U will come back.
Oh, I hope they do. I hope they do. I'm rooting for them. I think the Premier League's a better Premier League when Manchester United's rolling. By the way, we have the former Manchester, the first player Sir Alex Ferguson signed was Brian McClair. Famous guy, played at Celtic, Scotland, won a bunch of titles with Sir Alex at Manchester United. He's coming to Houston for our banquet.
Oh, nice.
And you want to know something about this man?
What?
Check this out. He's coming and he says, I don't need any fee because it's for pediatric cancer.
Oh, well, that's nice.
How
that's
about nice. That?
That's
and
cool.
Tom Clare got that set up. By the way, that's going to be, and I hope you guys are going to be at that. That's going to be on, again, August 16th. The next day is the Colorado Rapids game, and we're having a pro players reunion. So you're going to have to run on the field and walk out on the field, Eddie.
I don't know about running.
You and me are both going to run out of the booth, down on the field. Cindy's going to take over everything, and we're going to run back up.
I don't know about running. I'll walk.
Well, anyway, this is going to be a big night. And we have also got, along with the Curing Children's Cancer Fund, we have the Snowdrop Foundation and Kevin Klein, who's a well-known morning personality on the country station, the Q. They're going to be a part of it as well. So really excited about this. $110, TomClaire346@gmail.com. We got to find out about the Celtic supporters group, too, because they're going to want to come see Brian McClaire. But well, what a wonderful gesture from that man. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number. You know what we're going to talk about now? We're going to find out who has the best celebrity followers for Liverpool and for Spurs. So here's a couple that are Liverpool fans. You ready?
Okay.
Tell me who's got the better roster. Liam Neeson, Clive Owen, Daniel Craig. They got James Bond. Liverpool's got James Bond, Daniel Craig. LeBron James, I'm not sure that's legit. Do you think he really is?
Yeah.
You think LeBron is?
I've seen him.
He got his money at Liverpool.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Now that's strange. That's negative.
And Carolyn Wozniacki, who, by the way, at my niece's wedding, I sat next to the most delightful young woman you would ever meet. Super nice, amazing tennis player. She is a huge Liverpool fan.
She's
that's
a
true.
Huge. Yeah. Huge.
She actually wore a Liverpool jersey in one of her tennis matches.
Really?
She wore Steven Gerrard jersey.
Yeah, it was signed by Gerrard.
Gerrard, yeah.
All right, so there's Elvis Costello, Lana Del Rey, who's the young singer now, supposedly. All right, so that's Liverpool. Now I'm going to take you to Spurs. Adele, who apparently has had a Spurs flag on stage. Jude Law, one of my favorite movies, At the Enemy's Gate. Did you ever see that movie? The Sniper?
Great, probably.
Great movie. You would like that. That's your kind of... Billy Bean, the Moneyball guy from Oakland A's?
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Is that real?
I don't know.
Jason Biggs from American Pie. John Cena.
Oh.
They just might win.
The wrestler?
You know,
the pro wrestler.
If it turns into a brawl, Spurs is going to win, I think. Although you got James Bond.
Yeah, we got 007.
You got 007. Peter Forsberg, Colorado Avalanche. Steve Nash, we know, from the NBA.
A big Tottenham supporter.
Big time. Des Coleman from EastEnders, if you remember that movie. And Tony Butler, you guys won't know this, from Big Country. By the way, when we go to break, play a song Big Country by Big Country for me. I'm putting you to work. Well, why are you rolling your eyes at me, Andrew?
Big Country by Big Country?
Yes.
I got you.
It's the truth. It's the real deal.
That's a real song?
You're going to like the song.
Big Country by Big Country? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to like it. And it's not a country song, by the way. It's from a Scottish group. All right, so who's got the better celebrity lineup? This is right up your alley.
I think Billy Bob Thornton canceled everything. all the positives. We're talking about, you know, LeBron. I'm going to give a Liverpool again the slight edge.
Was that somebody, hey, Billy Bob, put this on for us, would you?
Yeah, I don't even know if he knows.
I think Liverpool has a real call of celebrity supporters. 007, LeBron and Caroline Wozniacki. Wozniacki, one-time Grand Slam winner, 007.
Wasn't she with Roy McIlroy for a while?
They were together for a while.
Wasn't he a Man United fan? Isn't he a big Man United fan?
Basketball player from San Antonio Spurs, I think.
Is that who she's dating now?
No, I think she got married. Absolutely delightful. Jason Isaacs, also of Harry Potter fame. He's there. All right, let's switch gears here. Chelsea, Arsenal tomorrow. Is this it for Mauricio Sarri, even if he wins the cup, Eddie? And how much pressure is on Unai Emery to win this? Because this is their only ticket to get into the Champions League, Arsenal.
I think there's more pressure on Unai Emery, to be fair. Arsenal has just kind of been... ugly stepchild this year. Everybody wants to talk about everyone else and that Arsenal's got no chance. And then all of a sudden, look at, here we are. It's interesting to see what their reaction will be to Mkhitaryan not traveling. Will they be frustrated with UEFA, with others, and have a point to prove? Or will they sulk about it and say, this is ridiculous? I think that could be a very big part of the mentality. But once again, it's the first 20 minutes, and it's the adrenaline that will be absolutely flying. So, again, I think it comes back to experience, and Chelsea's a little bit more experienced for me.
So it's a weird one. By the way, it's a 6,000-mile round trip for these two teams, and there are not going to be many fans of Chelsea and Arsenal there. I don't know what in – You know what's name UEFA is doing? It's got to be the
I don't know that there's going to be a lot of people there. I don't know if you guys saw the video that was shot today on Twitter that they were pumping in crowd noise. And it was like they were trying to get the sound right. Somebody had a video inside the stadium.
I think the game's actually being played in the Galleria area at Del Mar Stadium. That's what I think. It's a secret location. Why not put it at the farthest point you can put it so you make everybody travel? Great move by UEFA. You know, you have to really think about that. What was the reasoning behind
of going to
in Baku, Azerbaijan? What was the thinking?
I think maybe they're trying to spread out, you know, the hosting of Europe Cup finals. But the fact is that you have to have these fans in mind when making such decisions, and also you have to look at the political history of some countries. How can a club like Arsenal miss out on one of their great play like Mikel Arteta on a night that they need their best weapon, you know, to function?
All right, so now listen to Big Country. This is a great song. All right, as we go to break. Getting tired of hearing me tonight, Andrew Carlson?
You said he listened.
No,
to
I was
going to
just say there's a sad story because the singer committed suicide. When I saw them when this broke, and they played the song twice at their show. All right, we're taking a break. It's a Daspit Law Firm break. More to come. You want to talk some Dynamo here? 713-780-3776. Dynamo Sporting Kansas City. Tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. Right now, I've got a pair of tickets. Houston Dash Orlando Pride, third caller right now, 713-780-3776. Dynamo Sporting Kansas City this weekend. And that game you can catch on the Cube or get your tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. Break time.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Hey, don't forget July 20th, Energy Stadium, Bayern Munich, Real Madrid. That is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. These teams will be right in our backyard. Hopefully, 2026 we'll have the World Cup here as well. Guess what I'm going to do right now? Eighth caller right now, a pair of tickets to Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, July 20th. Eighth caller at 713-780-3776. By the way, that wasn't Bruce Springsteen. You guys know who that band is that covered that song? Sam? Frankie Goes to Hollywood. By the way, nobody has as good a music play as us here. We go in different places. We don't just play R&B the whole time. We don't play rap all the time. We do play some great rap because Andrew rips into that. I like the old school stuff. Run DMC, you know, when rap was cool. All right, just kidding. There's some cool rap right now. All right, let's switch gears. Sam, under 20 Nigeria against the United States. Tab Ramos and the U.S. 2-0 winners. Soto with two goals. That was a weird Nigeria team for me. That was not a typical Nigeria team.
I mean, at the under 20 level, Nigeria hasn't really been that fantastic. You know, the closest we've come to the title was in 2005 under Samson Cesar, who lost to, you know, Argentina, Lionel Messi. But since then, you know, the development of soccer from the group stage to the national team hasn't really been that progressive in Nigeria. You know, and
why?
A whole lot of things, corruption, you know, lack of infrastructure, when money, you know, when they disburse money, money goes to something way, way different from what that money is meant for.
I know you feel strongly about this, but it's the same old song and dance, right?
It's same old. Every federation that comes, you know, we sing the same song and we're tired of singing the song. And also, a cheat becomes a problem, you know, in Africa when it comes to, you know, the age group competition, you know, and that has kind of cast a big shadow, you know, over some African countries. And when you see players from Nigeria playing against a typical kid who should be 19 or 20, you'll be like, this player doesn't look that age, but he should be getting it done. That's why when you look at players who play Nigeria 99, Xavi, Iniesta, if you look at Nigerian players who play that tournament in 99, look at their development, their progression, look at the Spaniard. Nigerian players who play that tournament,
they don't catapult.
Their progression, they retrogress.
It doesn't accelerate it
at all.
Digresses.
It retrogresses.
Nice. But, all right. Now, let me switch gears. Oh, you're going to make a point. Go.
But when you go to these underage competitions with the real underage players, then you are setting them up for upward progression. When they hit that prime age.
So you're saying something pretty serious here. You're saying they're cheating at age levels.
Yeah.
They're putting kids in there that are older, and that's why they're not developing, because they are probably peaked already.
Yeah, probably at their peak. So when you expect them to hit their peak when they are 24, 25, they are really like 37, 40 years old.
All right. By the way, Eddie Robinson in studio, Sam Mbonu in studio. Eddie, that doesn't take away from a decent performance from the United States,
yes,
I thought.
It
was certainly better than the first game against Ukraine. I think on another day, though, I think Nigeria scores a few goals. They created a lot of opportunities.
Last 7 minutes,
maybe as organized
first half,
as everyone
right?
else. They're not as organized, but maybe they make some silly mistakes. But they're so athletic, and a few of those shots, if it wasn't right at the goalkeeper, it's in the back of the net. So it's going to be interesting, this group, because you have to expect that U.S. is going to beat Qatar. But the Ukraine-Nigeria game, I don't think there's a clear favorite there. I think that if Nigeria has a very good day, that they could win this. And all of a sudden, Ukraine, who we thought after beating the U.S. was absolutely going to advance, may end up going home. But I think if you're Tab Ramos, you got to win this tournament, because all of the negativity around the youth programs at U.S. soccer on the men's side is just bubbling beneath the surface. And if the U.S. doesn't advance for some reason or gets knocked out in the round of 16, I think he's going to have some really tough questions and face a lot of really harsh criticism.
All right, couple of notes on this. Chris Richards, who was playing very, very well, who played a year here with the Texans under Eric Quill, and then Eric Quill moved up to the USL team. He looked good before going off injured. Paul McCall of...
he's been outstanding.
Looked excellent. I thought Mendez had a good 45 minutes in the first half. Soto with the two goals. Tim Weah was active. So was Conrad De La Fuente. I watched this whole match.
Even Mendez was also immense.
First 45 minutes. I thought he, my friend Greg said that he thought he faded, and I agreed with him.
I mean, against Ukraine, the U.S. team didn't play badly. You know, they had, they saw more ball. They had more possession. That tells you that this U.S. under 20 team like to hold the ball. You know, they like during DeMarco's retirement press conference, I asked him, you were part of the U.S. team 2001 in Argentina. You know, what do you have for these boys? He said, let them go there, have fun, enjoy yourself, show the world who you are, your talent. And that was what Soto really did. Yeah. Popping up with those two goals, I was asking myself, what was Nigerian defenders doing, leaving Soto on Matt, looking at how he has troubled them in the last 15 minutes?
Well, the first goal he scored, I could have scored. I mean, come on. I could have scored that goal at over 50, okay? I mean, there was nobody near the guy, 5 yards. It was a blown marking assignment.
Well, we've seen players miss, you know, goals like that.
No, listen, he still had to take the chance. But I'm saying he was completely unmarked.
He was on Matt.
Yeah. All right, let's switch gears to Dynamo, because I want to get the Dynamo in ahead of their game against Sporting Kansas City. By the way, who got a hat trick from Johnny Russell. They knocked off They got a very, very big win against Seattle. They have to play tomorrow night at home against the LA Galaxy. So they'll be coming in on their third game in 8 days. Dynamo have had a week here to prepare. Word we're getting is Albert Elise and Ramel Kyoto are training. So that's good news. The Dynamo go down 1-0 at Minnesota. Eddie and I called that game. Roman Metaner with that weird deflected cross. But our biggest takeaway was a lack of really creating clear chances in the final third.
Which is a bit surprising to me, because I think that when you look at what Ramel Kyoto has done as a substitute the previous two or three games, he's really changed the game. And he's driven at defenders, and he showed that hunger that he showed his first season here. And then I think he went through a period where he was a bit reluctant, and he would settle for the easy cross, and it wasn't always the best decision. I think he got away from that just meanness, that drive, to where I don't care who's in front of me, I'm going to take him on, I'm going to beat him, and I'm either going to score or I'm going to create something for somebody else. But between the two teams, I don't think there was one shot on goal in the second.
But you worded it perfectly on the broadcast. You said, hey, get a glimpse at what it's like without Albert Elise, because this is a real issue. This can't be swept under the carpet. Albert Elise could leave in the summer. He is definitely leaving in the Gold Cup. This team is, you can talk Memo, you can talk Kyoto. This is Albert Elise's team. And by the way, the Dynamo, as you know, Eddie, and you know, Sam, created real good chances against the LA Galaxy and against Seattle. Clear chances that we have not seen on the road because of that man. That did not happen against Minnesota.
No, it didn't. And the Dynamo have got three of the next four on the road. So after this four-game sequence they've got coming up, I think we'll have a little bit clearer idea of where the Dynamo are.
Yeah, and by the way, Wilmer Cabrera was highly critical, which I liked.
I do too.
Of his attack.
I do too.
To me was incredibly refreshing and honest and upfront. Neither team really, strikers weren't involved. Memo had one chance at an angle.
He had a couple of good moments, but
not enough on the road. These weren't clear.
But the absence of Albert Elise was very obvious. Everybody, even the blind man, could see that, you know, this team missed the creative, the incisive run, the intelligent play and pass of Albert Elise.
And the tempo raising, like, you know, he's almost like a little bit of a runaway train, right? I mean, you know that on the road, he's going to get four or five balls and he's going to break out and he's going to break a line, and all of a sudden another team's running back towards their own goal. This didn't happen against Minnesota. Minnesota seemed settled. The Dynamo had 18 crosses in this game. The two center backs, Eddie, you said it on the broadcast, were just sitting there heading balls away.
Yeah, and even for the Dynamo, defensively, they were so good. They were so good. I mean, that was a fluke goal.
Yeah,
and then in the second half, there was a ball that deflected to the top of the Dynamo box. A Minnesota player, I remember it was, brought it down with his chest and just shanked a volley that went right to one of their attackers 10 yards from goal. He just missed the entire target. I said, you know, if it weren't for bad luck, the Dynamo would have no luck at all. And sometimes it's just sticking to it and fighting and scrapping and doing things in an ugly way, like the Dynamo did against DC United in that come-from-behind 2-1 win. Sometimes you just got to be ugly.
Yeah, no question. But ugly needs the help of people that can make plays. And without Albert Elise, it's a whole different ballgame. And I agree with your point. The Dynamo, no question, are a better defensive team now with the additions of Struna, the addition of Vera, the addition of Figueroa. But it's three games in a row now. You got to find a way to win on the road.
To win road games. I mean, after they beat Colorado on the road, you know, 4-1, I was like, okay, this is the catalyst that going to propel Dynamo to, you know, grab some wins on the road. But now they drop point at LA Galaxy, a game that they could have, you know, at least got a draw against Minnesota. You know, even though, yeah, you know, Minnesota got that goal in the early first half, Dynamo had some few moments to come back to the game. But, you know, trying to string those key passes in the final third was missing link in the Dynamo attack. And I think had Albert Elise been in that game, we could have gotten 3 points from this game. They weren't that good at home.
I agree with you. And I think there's a big circle around Albert Elise. And by the way, Matt Jordan, the GM, got another international slot. So there could be something brewing this summer. But the good news, Elise might be available on Saturday. Mr. Eddie Robinson, a tremendous effort making it out of the bubble of Pearland.
Thank you for having me.
To get in here. Thank you very much for coming in tonight. I played that country song for you, by the way. What was that? Montgomery Gentry. Sam,
Yeah, thank you.
Sam and Bonu, Afro Vibes, really appreciate you coming in. Good luck with your Liverpool. I know you want them to get it done. We'll talk some AFCON next time, okay?
Yes, I will.
He will be off to the African Cup of Nations.
I'll be in Egypt, you know, if I have chance. I'll call you on the phone, on your program.
We'll do it.
Yeah.
For Andrew Carlson, for Victor Ariza, two guys behind the scenes. Those are our holding midfielders. I'm Glenn Davis. Podcastarena.com. Daspit Law Firm, thank you for being the presenting sponsors. Good night, everyone.
ESPN 97.5.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.